Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. Do I start every single show by saying welcome, Luke?
Yeah.
This is upsetting, isn't it? Sorry.
I like to think that spiritually the listeners never go away.
No, true. They're just hanging out in the ether until the time comes that I have to sit them down and
tell them that
it is David Guetta's birthday. It's
okay.
Marie Curie and David De Gea. So many happy returns.
Who's made more of a contribution?
I don't know. I mean, she doesn't do anything, Curie. Could she? She's never good with her feet.
The only scientist to ever win Nobel Prizes in two different scientific disciplines, I think.
Yeah, she was never good with her feet, though, was she?
And her mixing leaves a little to be desired. Has she ever chucked a USB stick into a computer at Coachella? No, probably not.
Exactly.
Peter, I was going to say to you before you moved on, I think, you know, for my taste, a bit too quickly, I was going to say, the listeners are like those people you told me about in minor characters in video games who stand there like that with their arms outstretched until they're called upon. And then they come into the main game. Does like that work as an analogy? Does it work?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's sort of like, it's like we've got all of these, is it Siberian geese at the moment over on Southend, kind of like flapping around and squawking. It's astonishing how far birds fly. And I know,
I love Siberian geese. They're almost. Are they also known as the red-breasted geese? Because if so, they are
too far away. Don't know.
Okay, because they're some of the most beautiful geese in my view. But carry on.
Yeah. Well, they're in. I'm trying to think. What am I looking at? Who sent me? It might be my dad. Actually, my dad sent me a clip of a. It was a bird, and it was a young bird that broke the distance record for migration.
Nice.
A 5-month-old bar-tailed godwit flew 8,500 miles in 11 days from Alaska to Tasmania, which is like it's too much, isn't it? That is too much.
Yeah, that's flying. That's a really, really good achievement. The bar-tailed godwit, for those who don't know, have got a massive, long, slender beak.
Mm.
Quite nice to look at. Look great on the wing as well, which you'd expect because they're travelling that kind of distance. Then good on them, I say.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Peter, what I was just thinking to myself, I don't know why I thought about this, but I was going to say, it's Monday today, start of a new week. You know, the nights are drawing in because of the clocks have gone back and all the rest of it. What do you think Bono's doing today?
What do you think Bono's doing today?
Do you want me to clarify
he's
it further?
About his, he's probably thinking about his son's career.
On Thursday, his son's doing okay. On Thursday, we talked a bit about a Michelin star guide or judge. You know,
P.F. Chang.
It started off being about P.F. Chang's, but we moved on to that. And we said that, you know, they're not realistically going and they're judging meals every night.
Yeah.
You know, they have to keep their powder dry to some extent. And so it just made me think that famous people, we know them for the famous things they do.
Mm.
But to me, it's interesting to think of what they do as a normal, everyday thing. Like, what's their normal day look like? You know, in the episode of Alan Partridge where he tells his girlfriend that he knows Bono and he takes her to a stately home and says, this is Bono's house.
Yeah.
And Bono sits in this big 4-poster bed with a massive bowl of Alpen. I just wondered what you thought Bono actually is doing right now.
Well, I was in a barber shop getting my hair cut, and the lady who was cutting my hair said, can you hear this guy? He was playing on a Spotify. Can you hear this guy? That's Bono's son.
Yeah.
And I was like, And I looked and I heard it and I was like, I don't think this sounds like the popular indie beat combo Inhaler. It's Bon Iver. And she'd got very confused. she got very confused about Bon Iver. Conflating the
Bono songs done very well out of that.
Bono Iver. I know, because Inhaler a bit shit. But it just really made me giggle that she's got it terribly confused. So I can only imagine he is greasing the pole for his son to ascend to being a major label and major stage festival concern.
I've got a couple of things to say on that. One is, did you see that Bon Iver played Wembley Arena, I want to say last week, maybe the week before, and he brought Taylor Swift out?
He did, yes. Yeah. Matt Edmondson on Radio 1 told me about that. Or was it Emil Franchi on Absolute Radio? I can't remember. Either way, somebody told me about it.
They told you about it, or you were just listening to their show?
They told me about it through the radio.
Oh, right. It still counts. It's a very personal
medium.
It still
counts, yeah.
And the second thing is, so on Thursday, I talked about that band. I mentioned a couple of anecdotes about the Mayhem. One of the guys from the band, the drummer, I still see, he's a good friend of mine, and I think he might actually listen to this show, so if you're listening, Woody, hello to you. And I go to see him, you know, semi-regularly, and we play music together and we hang out and all that good stuff. Anyway, his friend, who's now become a friend of mine, is a guy called Mark, and he used to be a record engineer, and lovely fella, and he actually engineered the Nick Cave album No More Shall We Part, which is an amazing claim to fame. He's got some great stories about Nick Cave. They're his stories, not mine. Anyway, the point being, that's a rather long run-up to me saying that he is the first person I've ever met that's actually phobic of having a haircut.
Will not get involved in the whole haircut.
No,
thing.
He said to me that he only ever cuts his own hair or gets his wife to do it. And he said to me, what should be available as an option, which I thought was a pretty interesting idea, actually, is he said, you should have an option to be able to, on the website beforehand, select a haircut, right? And just go in and not have to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
And they just cut your hair and then you go. Almost like an anonymous.
That's a good idea, that. Like you could have like an abandoned toilet. There's a hole in the wall, like a glory hole, and you stick your head through.
Where's that come from?
Like a little glory hole, but for haircuts. Yeah, just a little hole for a willy.
So the idea being that, as far as I know, a glory hole is so it's completely anonymous. It's somewhat disappointing for your anonymity to put your head through it, isn't it?
Well, you can wear a big mask, but you got your head down, and then you just cut your hair like that. You never need to see anyone.
Put your head through a hole.
You never need to see anyone. You never need to sort of like know who that person is, and they just chop.
No,
your
you
hair
put your head through lovely. The hole. You're going to see them. What's the point of putting your head through the hole if you're also wearing a mask? It's just inconvenient. It just gives you a bad back. The hairdresser's got to bend down.
Haircuts. Yeah, you just kind of like, you whisper what you want. You just go, oh, like an undercut, please. And you just stick your head through and they do it.
Banner not invested in that.
Beautiful. And the barber could do several haircuts at the time. As long as you stick your head through the wall at the right angle, I suppose.
You are someone, we've discussed before that you're someone who finds it awkward to get a haircut. Is it because of the chat?
Massively. It's just endless.
I love the lady who cuts my hair. She's so cool.
Yeah, they're all great, but I just know there's just going to be slightly uncomfortable chatter. I prefer the Turkish barbers where no, like certainly the one near where I got my MOT with my Fiat. I just popped.
He's not doing both things, is he?
They were just shouting at each other in Turkish, and it was just great. I was like, you're good. No one's talking to me. They're having an argument in Turkish. It's good stuff.
They're probably slagging you off.
Probably was, yeah. Look at this fucking loser I'm cutting the hair off. Why is he bothering? He's fucking on the way out anyway.
My hairdresser makes me feel very good about myself because she's really lovely and a genuinely very nice person. She's got her own business in the area where I live and I'm happy to support her. But she also makes me feel a lot better about myself because she's into things like crystals and astrology and all that kind of stuff. So if I say to her, I'm having a bit of a tough week, she'll be like, oh, it's okay. It's because Jupiter's in retrograde. Don't blame yourself. And I come away thinking it's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I can't control anything.
You could say anything in this. You've got, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's because of the crystals, isn't it?
Did you know, Luke, that that like Jupiter's in retrograde, which means it's very difficult to achieve things. And I mean, part of me, admittedly, is thinking, would it be more noticeable if everyone in the world was finding it hard to achieve something because Jupiter was in retrograde? Because I feel like that should be on the radar.
It should be factored into like public holidays. We should all have a public holiday when Jupiter's in retrograde because no one can get anything fucking done. Why bother? pissing against the wind.
But then the other part of it must be that she thinks it's maybe only affecting people with my star sign. And I just think to myself, I mean, Jupiter is, you know, it's 10,000 times the radius of Earth. You know, it's a long way away. I don't know if it can realistically be affecting me. So anyway, but she's nice, and I like getting my hair cut there, and I never get it cut by anyone else, and I even pay a little bit more than I could elsewhere to support a local business.
Mm. Well, I was watching, speaking of tall men with curly hair, I was watching a performance in New York, Central Park, by Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon.
Okay. Is Art Garfunkel actually tall, or is it just that Paul Simon's really short?
That's the thing I'm talking about, right? So their whole relationship seemed to sort of like just get fucked up by the fact that each of them thought that the other person was always about to leave due to better offers. You know, one was a songwriter, one wasn't a songwriter. One had offers from Hollywood, one didn't. And so they were just constantly throughout their really successful few years together, they were just constantly thinking that the other one was going to fuck them over, right? It's just constantly happening, right? And they didn't enjoy working with each other. But a lot of it stemmed from Paul Simon being short, and that was something that Art Garfunkel on repeated occasions, to score a point or two, would press a button about his height, right? And I thought, and Sarah in the car, we watched this wonderful performance from them in Central Park. I don't know whether it's the 81 or an earlier performance. I think it was the one they did in 1981 when they got back together.
Yeah.
And Art Garfunkel was in his massive big vest and jean and shoes sort of combo sort of thing. Anyway, and it was stark because all of the people in the park, it wasn't like let's make as much money as humanly possible and really smash everyone together and you know get as many people in one place at the same time and make as much money as possible. Everyone at the front was just sat down and they had a bit of room about like around each other and no one was going insane and obviously no one was taking photographs, all that stuff, all that good stuff. It was just all, it looked really fucking chill and really fun, and I guess that's what you got from folksy folk, but it just seemed like a really fun gig that no one was just being a dick at, right? Anyway, and we're watching it and so reading up on why they fell out, it was made, like big parts of it were that Paul Simon physically was not as big as Art Garfunkel, right? And I thought, well, how tall are those two people?
Mm.
Now Paul Simon is 5'3", right?
Yeah.
Art Garfunkel is 5'9". He's not even that tall. He's average at best.
Yeah. It's like two bald men fighting over a comb.
He looks really tall, but it's only because Paul Simon is tiny. So, that is particularly short, yeah. But it just made me laugh that it was like, oh my God, like, Arkham isn't that tall. He's literally just a lick over my head.
I love it because it's a dispute that only can really exist between the two of them, because every other person they're going to meet, every other man they're going to meet is more than likely to be taller than them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, they always said to Andre the Giant, never hang out with basketball players because they're all going to be taller than you.
And yeah, it'll destroy the legacy, the image. And I think also, it's a remarkable thing. So I didn't actually know that about them, but I did know that, of course, that Paul Simon wrote all the songs. And you think to yourself, I understand that insecurity is something that can drive people forward and can be used positively. And
why are you fucking bothered? You're Paul Simon, for crying out loud.
I mean, Garfunkel's not contributing anything other than just singing.
I know. Why are you bothered about your fucking height, man?
You're the organ grinder. He's the monkey. You know, it's kind of funny that I think what happens is, like, this happens a lot with bands and all the rest of it. It's rarefied atmospheres, isn't it? It's like cabin fevery type stuff. These tiny things become actually quite important because you're in each other's pockets all the time, and to other people, it just seems like a completely pointless, like, waste of time and, like, unbelievably petty. But then I guess that kind of is what happens in marriages and relationships and stuff. We mentioned that, we alluded to that on Thursday, didn't we? That, you know, if no one really knows apart from the people involved. Very, very strange stuff.
I mean, at that point that I learned that, I said, Art Garfunkel, he's only an inch over average. And Sarah googled what the actual average was in the UK, and it is 5'9".
Yeah.
Absolutely fuming. I was. I said, get some more stats. And then she looked some more stats up. Piece in the Daily Telegraph, BBC. They all said 5'9".
What are you?
And I got measured 2 weeks ago, and I am 5'8½".
That's a shame.
That is a shame, isn't it? That is a shame.
Is Art Garfunkel including his hair in that?
I know, exactly. I would want very much to... that's stocking feet and shaved head for me. Top of the palette.
It's got that's exactly right. So how do they get the average? Because there's no way they're making everyone in the country take their shoes off.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
It's funny because I'm 6'3", but I've got a lot of small man energy, haven't I? Quite aggressive, quite a petty man.
That's why our albums suck.
Yeah, this is the thing. You're the big songwriter here. You're the one who creates all the content. I'm just the one who fucking says everyone look at him, and so it works for us as well. But thankfully, you're not as insecure as Paul Simon, I think.
Well, just talk about different things, I suppose.
Do you know what really taints Simon and Garfunkel for me? Is that, and this is going to be a completely bizarre story, so I apologise in advance, but I promise you this is true. When I went to college to do media, where I met Marcus, and I think I might have met Jim around that time, but anyway, I also met Chris, who was one of the original presenters of The Ramble. And anyway... I played for the football team for a bit, and I was involved in some of the social events on campus and all that kind of stuff, as you can imagine a 19-year-old me would be. And there was this one night where they used to do like a karaoke thing, but it was at the student union, but it was like their thing was they used to really jazz it up. So they would do like, they would dress the stage and they would do like backing singers and all this kind of cool stuff, right? And it was kind of like a prototype thing for, you know, XFM used to do, where you could do karaoke with a full band. It was kind of like that.
That's right, yeah. That was so cool. I loved that.
So anyway, it was run by this guy called Brett. I'm not going to use his surname because I've got no beef with the guy. But anyway, he was the events kind of, I don't know, like manager for the union, but he was like in his 30s at the time. You know the type I mean.
Yes, yeah.
But he's hanging around with a lot of 19-year-olds, the usual story. He used to organise all these events, obviously, and then this sounds mental now, but I promise you this is true. And it didn't really kind of register at the time, but I mean, in retrospect, it just seems ridiculous. He used to do for his birthday, he used to make his birthday at the student union a really big deal. Christ. And he used to do an evening with Brett where you could be invited along, or you would pay or whatever, and... He would do like, you know, like you see him on ITV now, like almost like a audience with Shirley Bassey or whatever.
Yeah.
He would do that. Right? It's mad. It is mad, obviously. But he would ask people to come up and do the karaoke thing and sing with him and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And he asked me and a couple of others for absolutely no reason, impromptu, on the night, to do Bridge Over Troubled Water with him. By Simon and Garfunkel, which at the time, being 19, I think I only just really only knew it because like my parents had it on vinyl. I didn't really know the song, and he just made me do it, and it was so embarrassing that now, even now, like 20 years later, I can't even really kind of not think about that every time it comes on the radio or something. So my Simon and Garfunkel kind of chances of ever being a fan of theirs is tainted by a provincial man called Brett who... basically made me out to be a bell end on stage when everyone knew then and now I'm perfectly capable of doing that myself.
Did you sing the high parts or the low parts?
I think I just kind of murmured. There was four of us, to be fair, so it wasn't just me, but I think I just mumbled my way through it. I didn't even know the tune, really.
I was with my two nieces at the weekend, and it was my mum's 70th birthday, bless her, and she and we were watching The Lion King 2.
Right.
And my sister, and bless her husband Mark, they're not the most technically able, bless them. And they, I'm just going to say bless them so many times.
Do you mean the one, sorry to cut in, but I'd be a pedant, but do you mean the one that kind of, the straight-to-video one, not the remake live action?
Yes,
one?
The straight-to-video one. Yeah, okay. It basically dealing with the son of Scar getting in a relationship with the son of...
is it called Simba's Pride, and it's got Nev Campbell?
Simba's Pride. So Simba's in charge of the Pride.
Yeah. Okay.
Simba's got a daughter, and she's keen on Scar's grandkid or kid, I don't know, whatever. But it completely unlovable. Like the animation was dreadful. The frame rate on it was just rank. It was just all a bit shit.
You weren't saying this during them watching it, were you?
No. Okay. Emma is obsessed with it, and she watches it like every kid. They just watch it about 5 or 6 times. Like, they're just like, they just will not stop watching it.
Yeah.
And so Emma's all the way through going, Pete, watch Uncle Computer, watch this.
She calls you Uncle Computer.
Uncle Computer. Watch this. Watch this.
Does she really call you that?
So they're like, yeah, Uncle Computer. And she says, watch this bit. He's all right, though, in the end, though. And he joins up with another pride. And they're going to fall in love. And I'm like, just let me... Here, let me watch it. Bless you. Bless you, bless you. But they had, on the telly, they had Swedish subtitles that they could not get rid of. Like, they could not get rid of on
could
on
Uncle
the,
Computer
on
sort old, it or not?
Uncle Computer sorted it. Uncle Computer fixed it. And changed
not
it to...
computer, is it? A DVD player,
English subtitles. And... so watching that and the song comes on, and because the songs are so, like, it's not Elton John quality Circle of Life. It is some absolute jobbing musicians creating these monstrosities for The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride. And the lyrics are just like, the lyrics are on the screen. So I'm sort of singing, even though I've never seen the song before.
Yeah.
And Emma's like, have you seen this before? And I'm going, no, I'm just reading the words. Yeah. So... in many ways, I was doing what you were doing on stage, but you didn't really have the words.
Disrespectful to Ladysmith, Black Mambazo, and Tina Turner, by the way.
That was not on Lion King 2. They were
they
not.
Are, apparently, they feature.
They were
I just
never heard.
Up.
I won't have this. Friend of Paul Simon, the aforementioned PS.
I've just been. I've actually been stitched up to the on the same theme by a niece of mine as well. Because when my sister got married, my niece would have been, I don't know, probably four.
Right.
And they got married in Santorini, and the first night everyone got there, the family and the friends, they organised a karaoke night, just, you know, a bit of an icebreaker. A really good idea. It was a great night in the end. Mm. But Betsy, my niece, decided that she wanted to sing The Lion King's I Just Can't Wait to Be King in karaoke. And she said, and it would have worked perfectly. Let me tell you something, it would have been an absolute dream, because she wanted me to be Zazu. Perfect. Rowan Atkinson can do that sarcastic English accent bit. She's got a child's voice, so she can do Simba. We're in business. She watches it every day. She knows it like the back of her hand. So we get called up, Betsy and me. Song starts. Yeah. She freezes. It happens.
She freezes. Just let you get on with it.
She freezes. You know, I've obviously got a little bit of experience on the stage, Pete, as you well know. So... I step up, end up doing both voices. I think I managed to carry it off. I mean, people weren't walking out, but it's not easy to flip between, you know, Zazu and Simba.
No,
and
exactly.
Bets was with me the whole time. I was carrying her. So she was there with the mic, didn't say a thing.
And also, you don't know whether you don't know whether some of the accents in The Lion King that you're doing are a bit off to do these days. You,
Simba
you
and Zazu's
as well.
Fine. Zazu's Simba basically Zazu's, like an aristocratic kind of, you know, like Englishman. That's fine. Yeah. Some of the other stuff.
But if you start doing the mandrill or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah,
I think he's got quite a strong accent. It's like, what am I doing?
Well, if there's one thing you and I can both agree on, Pete, as we go into the break here, is you can't say anything these days, can you?
You really can't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have. you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Cancer Lost Walk Police, we're back with the Luca Picture. I'm Pete Donaldson, joined by Mr. Lukey Moore.
Despite not being able to say anything these days, we'll probably do another 10 minutes.
We'll do another 10 minutes and you're going to fucking listen to it, all right? Yeah. I don't care, we're doing the car with kids.
So look, in summary, that just before the break, the old karaoke thing, I've had time to reflect in the ad break, and I do still think she was out of order.
Well, when she grows up old enough, shout at her.
I love her dearly, and it was still a great moment. And it didn't. Did it stop me getting back up and doing Call Me Maybe about an hour later? No, it didn't. So, you know.
True that. Well, we had the kids were very much having a sweet time at the weekend, and my dad was on very, very good form, like astonishingly good form.
Great.
When
great
we got to the pub for a bit of food, he was regaling us with stories of the pool when he was a kid. It was like a miner's pool that was like basically where all of like the runoff that they pumped out of the mine, right? The miners had funded this kind of like municipal pool, effectively, right? But it was filled with silt and soot and basically all the shit that came out of the mine at the bottom in Seaham, right? And
this is already depressing.
It's just really, really depressing. But I was like, so he said it was just sludge at the bottom. I said, well, could they not have got a rift sludge? He's going, yeah, probably. But apparently all of like the Olympic hopefuls, because there was very few. He was really proud of the fact they had like a, I don't know, a 10-metre hard board, a 100-metre, whatever. You know, he's obsessed with that, how big the boards were. I was like, yeah, Dad, but you're diving into like pool with like loads of heavy metals in it and stuff. It's not ideal at all, really.
It's a wonder. So my granddad tells a story about how he used to spend a lot of his time playing in the bomb craters during the Second World War when he was a kid.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then he also used to... So, have you heard the phrase, black as pitch?
Yes, yeah.
You know what pitch is, right?
It's like a black tar, isn't it?
Yeah, he said that like his parents used to give him pitch to like chew on when he was hungry.
I think that's all right, though, isn't it? It's just bits of old dinosaurs, isn't it? It's all old dinosaurs.
He's 91 in 2 weeks. He's still fine. He's still driving his car.
He's still chewing it.
Yeah. Speaking of having it tough back in the day, I think he was born in 1931.
Yeah.
His mother was 15 when he was born. She gave birth to him at home with no medical intervention, and he and his two brothers and six sisters lived in a two-room house. And they were
right, okay.
And he was evacuated during the war to the countryside with his cousin.
Very nice to get some room.
They ran away.
I can't believe it. They ran away, from the evacuation house,
they got put in with a family out in the countryside, in the West Country or somewhere. Right. He was about 11, something like that.
Yeah.
And his cousin was, I think, 13. They ran away and made their way all the way back to Portsmouth. Yeah.
Kids just managed to get
away. Yeah. Just followed the railway tracks.
I mean, it shits on my dad walking all the way back from Sunderland one
How
time.
How long's that?
Not very far. Not very far at all. Not certainly the West Country back to Portsmouth. That's incredible.
Yeah, he also tells a story of my granddad. I might have mentioned this to you before, where that his dog got mange or something.
Right.
Well, he had a dog that he just found, and it started following him around, and he became his dog, and he did all this paper around and stuff when he was like 12 or 13 or whatever it was. And his dog got mange, didn't know what was wrong with it, so he took it to his mum. I guess his dad was away at war or whatever. His mum said, oh, yeah, it's got mange, you have to get it put down. She made him walk to the vet and get it put down himself.
Oh, that's old school, isn't it? That is old school stuff.
Tough. It's tough going, that.
It's tough going. Yeah, I mean,
I would find that hard with any of my pets now. And I'm 42.
Go and do it yourself, for crying out loud.
That would be my wife telling me, go and do it yourself. Anyway, it's tough back in the day, mate.
I know, I just googled the Dordon Colliery pool. The pit pool was filled with the warm water they used to cool the colliery air compressors with, pumping it from mine into pool.
What's the name of it, Pete?
Say again, Dordon Colliery. It was a very famous diving centre where people would just dive off massive, to be fair, it looks fucking massive. During the pool is quite black, and divers never wanted to go to the bottom of this deep pool for fear of meeting something unknown waiting to grab them. Jesus Christ. We needn't to worry. During a visit at the time of the pool's demolition, it was experienced that the pool had a very smooth, nice concrete bottom. Why was it black then? Why was it sludgy and black at the bottom, for crying out loud? Get rid of that sludge. Just have nice clean water.
Wasn't there famously a massive explosion at the CM Colliery back in the day?
Oh, I don't know.
That was a big thing, wasn't it? See, you're talking about CM, right?
Yeah. Probably. I mean, they were. My dad was down the pit as recently into the 70s. So yeah.
Was your dad down the pit in 1880 when it happened?
It's hard to tell. Hard to tell with him. He tells some tall tales. He was.
160 people died, apparently. Yeah.
He was showing us. Did you see that fucking a couple of weeks ago? That crushing it on at the Halloween.
Oh my God, that's awful. So bad.
I can understand how that fucking happened, because it is just the world's smallest concentrated night spot in a small little sort of walkway, basically, bars on each side, just really, really, really. I mean, it, some of the pictures were fucking atrocious. That's awful. I don't know how they managed to. I mean, whenever anything like this happens, it's absolutely atrocious. But I mean, you know, South Korea is not. We're not talking like, you know, middle of fucking nowhere. This is that is a major capital city in the east. It's a disgrace, that.
Really sad.
And everyone would have been kids. Everyone would have been kids. Halloween's just, they love Halloween out there, and fuck me, it's just absolutely dreadful.
I'm not really sure what to say to that, Peter.
Sorry.
I agree.
Hit the email button. Whenever we have a little, we have to do a vault fast. Let's just stick an email in there. Hello to Lewis. Hello, Lewis. Save yourself the pain, Radiohead style. Hello, boys. Having recently discovered the show, I've been working my way through your back catalogue. How dare you, Lewis? I'm enjoying regular updates regarding Pete's contempt for his own digestive system.
I agree. That's a big part of the show.
If you're interested in finding a worthy adversary to Pete and his wacky food creations, I suggest you look into @superpedjason on Instagram. Each meal posted on this man's Instagram is a different kind of war crime, and he's doing this with alarming frequency. Keep up the good work, chaps. My best, Lewis. I'm just going to type superpedjason into Instagram.
It's kind of his thing, right? He posts, like, controversial meals.
Yeah, okay.
So the most recent one is a chicken tikka slice with cheese and tomato sauce, like a cheese, like on top of a curry. He's also got a pepperoni pizza where he's added mayonnaise on it and bacon, which is not too bad, I suppose.
No, I'm looking at one here that's a normal roast with pork belly and gravy and Yorkshire's. I mean, you don't pork belly's a bit too oily for that kind of vibe, but the thing that's probably going to upset people, instead of roasties, he's gone with a potato waffle.
I do love a potato waffle, but I'm not putting one on the roast dinner.
No, it's nothing. I mean, maybe I'm looking with my eyes, my disgusting eyes. I mean, nothing looks particularly unappetizing.
One of his meals, which I really loved. So he's put a meal up. He's obviously a meal guy. Everything he does is a meal. The meal he's put up on one of them is beef-flavoured Monster Munch in a bowl with a massive carton of strawberry milk, a huge bar of Dairy Milk chocolate, a bowl of wine gums, and two chocolate eclairs.
Two chocolate eclairs. What a finisher. What a
finisher.
You
know, the most controversial thing I saw on Twitter recently was someone had accidentally... It was one of those things where everyone's got a gap in their knowledge, right? So it's almost like you can't possibly know everything, obviously, and things that are common or garden or just accepted as knowledge doesn't always reach every corner of the country, and maybe it's just passes people by. And it had become quite clear that this particular guy had responded to request to share photos of his fry up, right?
Yeah.
And he obviously, based on, I think it's been deleted now, but based on the replies, he was completely oblivious. And I actually felt quite sorry for him at the end. He had obviously been in the habit of putting garden peas in his fry up.
Yeah.
So he had baked beans and also garden peas. And obviously, you know what the internet's like. People were like, what the fuck are you doing? Get in jail. Get in jail now. Yeah.
Is it worse than what Super Jason ate 29 weeks ago? Smoked ham, crab sticks, cheese, tuna, crackers, cheese triangles. Couldn't be bothered cooking. Lovely.
That's not. I've
seen
you
do
worse than that.
I think he's doing that just to get a rise out of people. To be honest,
you shared a plate with me a while back, and you had crab sticks and gravy on the same plate.
Did I?
You had it was something horrific. You'd basically grabbed a load of stuff out the fridge and put it on a plate because it was late, and it was horrendous, mate.
Yeah, he's got a nice. He looks like pretty much all of the timeline scholars together in one picture. He's posted a picture of him and his dog, and his dog looks actually quite ill.
and you would know.
And I know, but yeah, he's. I think some of it he's doing for effect, but some of the stuff I don't have a problem with, to be honest. Yeah,
I was just trying to think of. Bad. I'm just trying to think of some controversial food thing that I do that people would say is. So I'll tell you one thing I do which people won't respect, and I'll stick my neck on the chopping block here, just because you know it's only fair. If it's criticising other people, I'm fine with mushy peas. I don't mind them, but I would much rather have baked beans with my fish and chips.
Too sweet, too watery. Yeah, I'm. I'm
there'll not, be people out there who'll be upset about that, won't there?
I do like.
We're going to lose subscribers from me saying
that. I do like mushy peas, but I'm not sure I would necessarily. If I've got the choice, they're not going anywhere near my fish and chips. To be honest, just loads of vinegar. I'll have a Wally pickle and some gravy/curry sauce.
I was about to say you've got to have something wet on there.
Yeah.
So I won't have baked beans if we're having curry sauce. The curry sauce in our local chippy is really good, so if there's curry sauce available, we'll get a bit of that. But I'll tell you what, I will say this about Kennedy's. This is a chip shop near me. They can come after me legally if they want. I don't fucking care. They gouge their prices on fucking Deliveroo, right?
I bet they do, yeah, because you get
they double
your...
it.
Double it.
They double it, mate.
That's heavy.
On Friday nights, that award, it's an award-winning place. It's amazing. It is a brilliant fish and chip shop, and people come from all over South London. Right. But on a Friday night, mate, if you're not there by 6:30, it's probably a 30-person queue down the road.
Yeah. Do you get your food quicker if you go on Deliveroo, though?
Yeah, you do. But check it out, though. You'll not believe this. And people who are listening outside of our fair capital, you know, brace yourselves here. Let me tell you something now. Guess how much it is. Right, I'm going to do you a little price guess here.
Give me a little price guess here.
Let me just go.
Are you on the Deliveroo?
I'm on it now. I'm not going to order, but I'm on it now. Guess how much it is on Deliveroo for a medium, not even a large, a medium cod, and you only get the cod, not the chips, nothing else, just one piece of battered medium cod. Guess how much it is on Deliveroo in Kennedy's?
With a London premium, I'd say that's £9.
£13.55. The largest, £15.
That is... So you could be one... serving of fish and chips could be £20.
Guess how much it is for one large portion of chips on Deliveroo there.
One large portion is £3.50.
£5.15. It's just a paper bag of chips.
This is what a fish and chip shop has to go through when they're running money through the books properly instead of taking cash and over every other fucking this is how much a professional one actually charges, because all the rest of them are cash and hand.
What I would say is this, right? Obviously, it's not compulsory. You don't have to go there. Technically, they're not ripping anyone off because people choose to go there, and it is the best one around, and it's still absolutely rammed. So they're doing it because they can, and I don't necessarily, in principle, have a problem with that. There's another fish and chip shop just here, which isn't as good, and it's much, much cheaper, but no one really goes there. So, I mean, you've got more money than sense. We don't really go there that often, but if you go into the shop, it's like £7 for a fish.
So, right, okay. That's more. But it's a London premium, though, you know. I must admit, when we went up north to Cheadle, sort of around Stockport way, like the prices. I know you got to put up with the rain and stuff, but the prices are just so much more what I would usually pay for.
That's not the reason the prices are cheaper.
What do you mean? Because
you can't judge that. It's been raining today. People don't say that. That's not the thought process, is it? Anyway, I'd love to know what people who are listening's chip shop prices are. It's a big part of British culture, in my view. But Peter, we should probably leave, and we'll promise our dear Luke and Pete Show family that we'll be back on Thursday, because we always are. But before we go, don't just turn it off because I'm about to start the outro. Listen to this. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your pods. That helps us a great deal. We appreciate that. And if you want to get in touch, it's at Luke and Pete Show on socials and hello@lukeandpeteshow.com on the email. I think that's it for the admin, and that's it for this week's show, or this Monday show. Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell, everyone.
And thank you very much from me, too. It's goodbye from me as well. Speak to you soon.
Goodbye. Got a scalpel in my hand.
You have got a scalpel in your hand. Where's that come from?
I was cutting my toenails with it.
Oh, bye, everyone. God. See you later.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.